Good morning again. It's nice to see you this morning. God is good, is he not? Was that just a sweet time in the presence of our Lord this morning through worship? Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Christine, for helping to lead us this morning. I just love it. This year, starting in 2 weeks, we are going to begin to systematically go through the Bible. The main stories, the teachings, the themes from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. It will take us all year, and that's a good year that we get to just intentionally study the Word of God. But as I was praying about what to speak about this morning, knowing that next week is our youth service and all of that, I said, Jesus, what do you want? Where do you want us to start? What do you want the foundation to be for this year? And I really felt like God said, we need to talk again about my Spirit, about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit brings power. The Holy Spirit convicts. He encourages. He teaches us. And I want the Holy Spirit for this year, every year, it's not just this year, come on, every year, to be in us and moving through us as we dig purposefully into God's Word. So that's our plan. And this morning, we're going to learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have opportunity at the end of our service to pray to receive the fullness of God's Spirit so that we can live and we can move and we can have our being in Him. Several years ago, some of you have heard this story already from me, and I'm going to share it again for those who haven't, and also just because it was the most convincing situation where Tyler and I learned the importance of ministering and the power of the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, we were down in the States at a church. We were there for a training, so we were there for a couple of weeks, and they had a midweek service. We attended this midweek service, and the Holy Spirit fell. It was one of those times where it was just the Holy Spirit was moving in power and in authenticity. It was beautiful. There were words of prophecy. There were words spoken in tongues with interpretation. There were healings. It was just we could see and experience the presence of God. That was, as I said, middle of the week. Then we got to church on that following Sunday. And before even the worship team started, the pastor got up and he said, man, Thursday night was awesome. Was it not? We experienced a move of the Holy Spirit. And then he kind of got quiet. He said, let's do it again. And we were like, not sure that's really up to us, you know, to manifest this move of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what proceeded to happen was the driest service I have ever been a part of. Because you cannot manufacture a move of God. It is of the Lord, not from us. And what we learned was that a genuine move of the Holy Spirit, it is powerful. If it's not a genuine move of the Spirit, oh, it's weird. Okay? When it is empty of self and full of God, power, nothing like it. But when it is full of self and empty of God, it is dangerous, and oftentimes it is out of control. So no wonder God talks so much in his word about the Holy Spirit giftings, because that which is powerful needs to be approached rightly. In 1 Corinthians, there are four chapters from chapter 11 to chapter 14 that talk about order in worship service. They talk about the Holy Spirit gifts, making room for the overflow of the Spirit, and all from a posture of love. These are the main themes that we see in these four chapters. In 1 Corinthians 11, it begins with talking about order in the church service, as the gifts of the Spirit and the workings of the Spirit are shared. This chapter focuses on the right way, the right heart to come into the church in order to worship, in order to be filled, and to display the works of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 12, we're told that it's God who's working in all of us. It's not a thing of the flesh. It's God in us. In verse 6 of chapter 12, it says, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Later in chapter 12, in verse 11, it says that the gifts come from the Holy Spirit. He is the giver. Verse 11 says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, does anybody know what that chapter is famous for? Love. It's all about love. But this is referencing the gifts of the Spirit. It says in verse 1, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The gifts of the Spirit come from a place of love. That theme continues into chapter 14. Let love, in verse 1, be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Pursue love the most. Pursue love. And then later at the end of chapter 14, it kind of bookends it, again, talking about order in the church service. It says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. See, what we can learn from these four chapters is that spiritual gifts are meant to be an expression of love from the Father to me, an expression of love through me to others. Spiritual gifts disconnected from love, those are the scary things. Those are the weird things. Those are the things that become self-seeking, power-hungry, these fleshy desires to do something big, something noticeable, something powerful, something fantastic. But it's focused on self. Look at me. Look at what I can do in my own power. And friends, that never ends well. What that is pride, right? Look at me. And we know that pride goes before destruction. That's in Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. We need to remember that things of the Spirit are just that. They are of the Spirit. They are not of the flesh. And when the flesh takes over, when we kind of get in the way, things get weird, things get messy, and they get dishonoring to God. Things of the Spirit must be born of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about this quite a bit. And in verse 9, he says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. We're in the realm of the Spirit. We have no power in ourselves. We have no power in our own flesh. Only what comes from the Spirit of God. Now this morning, I have a bit of an illustration for those of us who are visual learners. Okay, I've got a glove here. And I want you to pretend that you, this morning, are the glove. Okay, you are the glove. Got it? The glove cannot do anything on its own. Right? To think that it can is absolute bonkers. Right? Glove. Pick up my computer. Glove, type something on my computer. Glove, move in the power of the Holy Spirit. On its own, it can do nothing. We know that, that's obvious, but sometimes we live our lives, especially in ministry, thinking like that, thinking that we can do this on our own. That we can do things of the Spirit according to the flesh. Now remember, you are the glove. Now we're going to pretend this is a big stretch, that my hand is God. Okay? You are the glove. My hand is God. Now when the hand fills up the glove, it can now do what God wants it to do. It is now filled and ready. It is positioned to act. It is now ready to be used by God. This is what the Bible talks about in Colossians 1:27, where it says, Christ in me. He is the hope of glory. We can do nothing on our own, but when we are filled with God, we are positioned, we are ready to be used by him. So this morning, as we go through this message, I have a couple of questions that I want you to be thinking about. First, are you filled to overflowing? The glove doesn't want to come off. Are you filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God? Are you moving according to the Spirit? Or are you still trying to go about life according to your own power? Like the glove, moving just in the flesh, which is so very limited. At the moment of salvation, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, when we accept him as our Lord, the Holy Spirit is there. And he begins a work in us, and it is a work of development. It is a work, we often call it sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. And the fruit of his Spirit begins to be developed in us. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Have you felt those things being developed in you? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and sometimes the hardest one, self-control. The fruit is the character of the Spirit, and it takes time to be developed. I actually love that we're given the picture of fruit because it's something that just makes sense to me. Because see, fruit is not just produced in a moment. It takes time. There's a process, a development. And fruit of the Spirit that I just listed, and then the gifts or the empowerments of the Spirit, they are different. See, part of God's plan is that every person that he creates, every person that he has created has gifts within them. And those gifts within them can be used for his purpose. And because of that, sometimes you will see giftings in people who aren't even followers of Jesus yet. Okay, now stay with me. If you grew up in the church, that statement might be a little scary to you. But sometimes when we look into our world, we can see people with these giftings. For example, leadership, administration, gifts of service. These are giftings that we see in many people. They have the gift. They can use the gift. But without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, what's happening is that gift that's meant to be used for God's purposes, it's just not turned on to max capacity yet. They are only able to use those gifts in part. I want you to think of it like a dimmer switch. If you have a dimmer on a light in your house, you know, you can turn the light on, and it's going to bring light to the room. But at what capacity? See, when we walk in the fullness of the Spirit, when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's like that dimmer switch is turned to full power, max capacity. And now you can use the gifts that he has given you supernaturally because the Holy Spirit empowers you to use those gifts to make a big deal about Jesus. That's what the gifts are. They are the power of the Holy Spirit used to point to Jesus, and they are gifts that are given supernaturally in a moment. This act is where the Holy Spirit within, from the moment of salvation, now bubbles up to overflowing. The infilling becomes an outflowing. It is the overflow of the Holy Spirit. And there should be evidence of an overflowing. When you fill a cup to overflowing, what happens? Water comes out. There should be water on the floor. We should expect a change. Now, this is a very simple illustration. I've got my empty jar here. I've got water. And I can fill this jar. I don't know, can we see this? I can fill this, I won't get it on the computer. I can fill this jar full. I can fill it full, okay? This is a very full jar of water. It's a container right now. It is holding the water. But guys, we were never meant to simply be a container of the Spirit. The Old Testament, we saw containers. The prophets, the judges, even the Ark of the Covenant, it was holding the presence, the Spirit of God. God's Spirit was contained. But in Acts, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, there was a move from just a container to a conduit. You will be so filled with the Holy Spirit that you will overflow. There should be, you should hear the water. There should be a response. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, the word tells us, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters, your old men, your young men, your women, your servants. It was saying, everyone gets this. This isn't for the elite. This isn't for the spiritually mature. This is a gift that is for all of you. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit, and you should expect an overflow. Pour out means to cause, to fully experience. I will cause my people to fully experience the Holy Spirit. More fully experience his presence and his power in our lives. This is a filled and overflowing. Spiritual gifts are the overflow of the Holy Spirit poured out on all people. When you receive what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there should be a difference in your life. Because this is when the dimmer switch goes to max. Your language should be different. There should be a change in how you speak, in how you act, in how you live, in how you reach out, in how you minister. There should be a change. And we see this evidenced all through the book of Acts. In chapter 2, that's when the Holy Spirit came. That is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then from there on, we see this overflow of the Spirit. In chapter 3, there's the overflow of healing, where Peter and John met a crippled man and said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. There's an overflow of healing. There was prophecy. There was knowledge. They spoke to the crowds, and they expounded rightly the scriptures with a knowledge and a depth of understanding that they didn't have before the overflow of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4, there were words of wisdom. Peter and John were put on trial, and again, they spoke with a heavenly wisdom. There was an overflow of generosity amongst the believers who had received the fullness, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They're sharing everything that they had so that there was no need among them. In chapter 5, there's more instances of healing, of teaching. The Bible says signs and wonders wherever they went. Supernatural faith to believe for things beyond normal faith. And this continues. It continues throughout the New Testament, and it continues to today. When God's people receive the empowerment of his Spirit, they will be filled to overflowing. And the result will be that there's going to be some water on the floor. It's not going to stay in the container anymore, because it's a move of God. And when it is all about him and not about us, we can expect a change. We can expect a move. over Christmas. My family, we love to celebrate. We love to have different special activities every day of the Christmas break. And what came with a lot of those activities was something special to drink. Instead of just the boring water, we would make lots of different punches. And I remember one day we asked Josh, don't worry, Josh, I'll give you something, some type of a reward for using you as an example here, okay? He's like, yes, score. But one day we asked Josh to make punch, and we have one of those juice dispensers that has a spout on the front, right, that you can open or you can close. And so Josh is making punch, and we're piddling around in the kitchen trying to get stuff ready, and all of a sudden we hear it. We hear the splashing and the spilling. We look over and we see it. There's now juice being poured out onto the floor. Because what Josh didn't realize is that the spout was open. And so punch was pouring out. Here's the thing, guys. I feel like when it comes to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to the fullness of God in us, it's about time that we leave the spout open. We need to leave it open. We should see, we should hear, we should fully experience the Holy Spirit poured out from God to us and then through us to others. Let's expect some water on the floor. Today, another question for you. Is your spout open or is it closed? Because to be filled to overflowing requires us to step out in faith. God wants us to be overflowing. That is how he has gifted us. It is how he has positioned us. Because his purpose is to reach the world through us. And he gives us his gifts in order to be these conduits. So again, it is God in me, and I am now ready. I am positioned to be used by God. And when I allow the Holy Spirit to empower me, to flow through me, now I can do in power, in God's power, not in my own strength, whatever it is that he has me do. It is supernatural, and we should expect a move. The gifts of the Holy Spirit reveal a loving God through an active church to a hurt and a dying world. As we move in the giftings of the Holy Spirit, we become naturally supernatural. We don't have to be weird to be used. Everyone should be able to take a deep breath. You don't have to be weird to be used in power by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we shouldn't be weird. Because when weirdness comes into the picture, I believe that is when the flesh has taken over what the Spirit is trying to do. It's like the glove is trying to make something happen on its own, and that's just weird. In the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it is Christ in me. It is not me by myself trying to conjure up some type of Lizzie greatness or Lizzie power. That's weird. The gifts are meant to be used in power, but also in order. And it is an order that God has designed. Spirit ministers to spirit. There is no fleshy weirdness involved. Supernatural? Yes. Weird? No. Is there a difference? Yes. Spirit of God? Supernatural. Flesh? Weird. There is something profound that happens in the spirit, and it is naturally supernatural. It is holy. There are three areas in the Bible that we see lists of gifts given. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and then Ephesians 4. And I'm going to run through these gifts and give brief explanations to some that might be a little bit more challenging to understand. In Romans, we're given this list. First is prophecy. And prophecy is just speaking God's word to others. It's revealing the things of God. There's serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, and even kindness. In 1 Corinthians, we have wisdom. Wisdom is what we do in a situation that is godly. It's beyond my self-direction. It's from the Lord. We have knowledge, which is a word of insight into what's happening, a gift of knowledge. Typically, it's spoken into a particular situation. I'll give you an example from my own life. Tyler and I were missionaries in South Africa for a number of years, and we were teachers in a primary school. And I had a student, I had taught her when she was younger, and now she was in grade 5 or 6. She was very young. Grade 5 or 6, what is that, 11, 10, 11? And I noticed a change in her. All of the teachers, all of the staff at this school, our ministry leaders, we noticed a change in this girl. She went from being on fire for Jesus, loving the Lord, walking with him, to suddenly being very, very closed off. It was like we couldn't get through to her, and she was distancing herself. She wasn't coming to school. And we began to pray for her, and because I had taught her when she was younger, my heart was just breaking for this little girl. And I was praying, and I wasn't really getting much clarity as to, God, what's happening? How can I help her? And one night as I was sleeping, the Holy Spirit gave me a dream. And I woke up from my sleep, and I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm not saying that unless I know it's from you. I am not going there unless you tell me that this is from you. And so I spent some more time in prayer, and I just felt like this was a word of knowledge from the Lord. And so I called this young girl into my house, and we sat down, and I said, I believe that God has spoken something to me, and I want to share it with you. And in her very hardened state, okay, Miss Lizzie. And I said, sweetie, God told me that you're pregnant. And in a moment, this girl just broke. She began to weep. And all of the hardness was just in an instant, like melted off of her. She said, how do you know that? And I said, because God told me in a dream. And I said, and I believe that he told me because he wants you to know that he sees you. He does not condemn you. You are not shameful. And he loves you. And that young girl ended up giving birth to that baby. She got her life. She was on fire for Jesus. She raised that little girl up in the church, and she is still walking with the Lord today. That is something that can be done through the power of the Holy Spirit with a word of knowledge. Not about me, about him. Reaching her in a way that only he could. The list continues in 1 Corinthians to faith. This is beyond that day-to-day faith. This is a faith that rises up and believes for the impossible. There's healings, miracles, discernment, which is just knowing what is of God and what is not. What is holy and what is evil. There's the gift of unknown language, which we often refer to as a gift of tongues. This is a personal unknown language between you and God. It's a heavenly language. The Bible says that when we run out of things to pray in your known language, then the Holy Spirit speaks his words, his utterances through you. It is a heavenly language. The list continues with interpretation of a word of tongues. So when a word of tongues is given in public, we are told that there is always an interpretation. Because we're not meant to walk around confused, we're meant to walk around empowered. And that comes through God's word being spoken. There will always be an interpretation when a word of tongues is given publicly. And let me tell you, it is holy. When we were pastoring in Burnaby, we had a Sunday where a lady said, I believe that I have a word in tongues. And she calmly went up to the pastor and told him that. And we continued worshiping. And then the pastor got up and he explained what a word of tongues was just in a couple of minutes. And he handed her the microphone. And she spoke this word in tongues. And I can tell you that it was the most holy experiences that I have ever walked through. It felt like a time when you're standing on holy ground. And she handed the microphone back to the pastor, and the pastor said, now we're going to take some time, we're going to pray. And we are going to expect that God is going to give the interpretation. And a few moments of just silence went by in the church. There was no chaos. Nothing was out of order. And the Holy Spirit was moving. And after a few moments, someone came up and said, I believe I have the interpretation, and took the microphone and spoke. And again, that holiness was just thick in the room. I have never experienced anything like it before or since. When it is a genuine move of the Spirit, it is holy. In the book of Ephesians, we're told that there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. More of these giftings. The gifts are given as a result of asking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, we are told to earnestly desire the gifts. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 13, we referenced this earlier. In the first three verses, it tells us that the gifts must flow from a position of love and not of power. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If someone were to go, well, these are electric. If we had an acoustic drum set and someone were to go and just bang on the cymbal, do you know how annoying that would be? Very. Without love, that's what we sound like. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. The next four verses 4-8, are the famous verses from the Bible that we hear not only in church, but you hear it most often at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Do you know what those verses are in direct context of? The gifts of the Spirit. They're meant to flow from a position, from a posture of love. They're meant to be demonstrated from love. Love is patient. Love doesn't dishonor others. Love rejoices in truth. Demonstrate the gifts of love, the gifts of the Spirit, from a position of love. Because the gifts are there to serve others in order to point them to Jesus. Through the gifts, the world sees the giver, not me. So how do we receive the gifts of the Spirit? How is it that we become full to overflowing? Oftentimes, I think that we think that this can be very challenging, or it's something super spiritual. Honestly, friends, Luke chapter 11 says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is in reference to the gifts, to the Holy Spirit. It says, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Holy Spirit comes in power to empower us when we simply ask. If you come to Jesus and you ask him for a gift, he's going to give you a gift. God desires that we will be filled to overflowing in the Spirit. And his gifts are the way that he reveals himself, not only to us, but to a lost and a dying world. Tyler, would you come? then I've asked for some ministry team people that will help pray. If you guys can just come as well. Thank you. I want you to imagine yourself as the cup on the chair. Do you feel perhaps dry today? Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you feel like there's nothing in here. Maybe you feel full, but not overflowing. You just feel like a container. You've received, but it's just stayed within. Do you feel like there's more for you today? Because let me tell you, you have the capacity to be filled to overflowing. There is no end to overflowing. That's the beauty of overflowing. A container, you can only fill so full. But overflowing, there is no end. So it doesn't matter where you are today in your walk with Jesus. If you have already been operating in the fullness of the Spirit and according to his gifts, guess what? There's more. He can fill you to overflowing continually. Leave the spout open, right? If you feel empty, if you feel dry, come to him and say, Jesus, would you fill me? Because I need more of you. I want more of you. And if you feel like you've just been a container, it's just kind of held within, ask the Holy Spirit, would you empower me to make a big deal about you? Would you give me your gifts so that I'm overflowing in your power? And then by faith, receive it. Because from the moment that you ask, you receive. There's nothing weird. We don't have to conjure anything up. The Holy Spirit is already here, and he is already moving. We just have to ask and then receive. Now, this morning, it's quite possible that there are people in this room or watching online who have never even received Jesus yet. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and you're like, wait, did I miss a step? Yes. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that's the first step. It is recognizing who he is and what he has done for you. That he is not only your Savior, he is the Savior of the world. And what you couldn't do in your own power, which was save yourself because you were held down by sin, as all of us are, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to take that. I'm going to go to the cross, and it's going to die with me on that cross. Your sin, your brokenness, your shame, your condemnation, it is gone. And then that cross didn't keep Jesus. Jesus rose again in power, which demonstrates that he has the power and the authority over sin and over death. He is your Savior. And he is waiting for you to call on him and to accept him. To say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are my Savior. Come and fill me. That's step one. And then Jesus, fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And he will. So this morning, as we enter into a time of worship, I believe that this is going to be a time where the Holy Spirit is moving, where we experience in part some holy ground. And if you want to come for prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you want to come to receive the fullness, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that you can be filled not as a container, but to overflowing, then do. Come and talk, come and pray with any one of us. The Holy Spirit is moving and he is here, and you have capacity to be filled to overflowing even more than you have ever experienced before. And we can expect a move of the Holy Spirit, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Supernatural, not weird. Our God is a God who is good, he is loving, and he gives good gifts. So church, our ministry team, we're just gonna stand on the sides here. And as we worship, if you want to pray, come up, please do. We invite you. And I just want you to know, and I want our ministry team to know, that even when you get up out of your seat and you've had that resolution of, yes, I want more of the Spirit. I want it to be overflowing in my life. The work's done, man. Now you just get to pray and receive it. It's good. So let's worship. Let's expect a move of God.